AG Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you'll be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA Field Councils, and HE Safety Consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on the show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, Mike and Bob and Howard.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about power outages. We've all become so dependent on electrical power that sometimes we forget. Without it, life becomes very difficult. Well, it's just like extended camping. I've heard about that one too. Well, not really. You see, without power, not only will your cell phones and computers stop working, but so will your refrigerators, electric stoves, hot water heaters, HVAC units, and heating units. But I got a generator. Well, generators are only going to last for a few weeks. Without power, you cannot refuel your fuel stores. Then you'll be left in the darkness. For prolonged power outages over 2 hours, there are some steps you can take to minimize food loss, enhance your family's safety, and to keep all members of the household as comfortable as possible. So as you can see, there is a lot of things to do and plan for. On csp.hesafety.org, you will find checklists to ensure that you can minimize your risks during power outages. We'll start with a pre-disaster checklist. Locate and identify gas and water shutoff valves and electrical disconnects. These should be written down in your family emergency plan. Check your alternate power sources, solar or generator. Make sure they're ready to go. Check your fuel supplies and rotate out if necessary. Check firewood supplies. Check your alternate cooking arrangements. Do you have a gas grill? Is it working? What about an open pit fire gear? You know, things like that. Check proper operations of your freezer thermostat and your refrigerator thermostat. Also, good thing is to put a thermometer in both of them. Fill up hurricane lamps with fuel. Now, for those who don't know what a hurricane lamp is, it's a glass lamp that works on combustible fuel. And it has a clear glass top to it. I highly recommend these over candles. These are a little bit more safer than candles to use. Ensure you have coolers available. Inexpensive styrofoam coolers will work just as well. Check your water supplies. You're going to want 1 gallon per person per day. 7 days minimum supply, up to 2 weeks. Your food, non-perishable foods, easy to prepare items, 7 day supply. A flashlight. They have these hand crank flashlights, solar generated flashlights, is what we recommend. Battery powered or hand crank radios, NOAA weather radio if possible. Some extra batteries, rechargeables would be nice. If you have a generator, you can recharge your batteries within the hour. A first aid kit, make sure it's up to standard levels. Medication, if you're on medication, you need to have at least a 7 day supply with you. And medical items if you should need them. A multi-purpose tool, sanitation and personal hygiene items, copies of personal documentations, medication lists, pertinent medical information, deeds, lease to your home, birth certificates, insurance policies. I recommend that you put these on a thumb drive. Cell phones with chargers, don't forget your chargers. And family and emergency contact information. You're going to want to keep your car's gas tank full at this time. And extra cash. If you have extra cash, let's not go overboard because people are going to get really funky when the power goes out. So you want just enough to get you through. Now, during a power outage, let's talk a little bit about generators. During a power outage, it is the time to fire up that generator, if you have one. A few things you want to know about it first. The generator needs to be located outside the home and far enough away from windows that it will not send carbon monoxide into the house. Also, you want to make sure the power cable that you run from the generator to your home is waterproof and it does not run through doors or windows, anything that can act like a pinch point or cut the cable. When you're refueling, please do not refuel a fuel tank over a hot engine. Let the engine cool down. You're just asking for trouble and third-degree burns this way. Gas vapors are extremely flammable. Now, your refrigerator. Frozen and refrigerated food should be fine in any power outage lasting less than 2 hours. Some precautions need to be taken if the power failure is expected to last more than 2 hours. When the power goes out, a full freezer should keep frozen food for at least 48 hours, and a half-full freezer should be at least 24 hours. These estimates are shortened if you open and close the door all the time. So what that means is keep the door shut as much as possible. Usually you should have a running list of what's in your freezer and your refrigerator. In case power service is interrupted immediately, have a general idea of what's in there. Perishable foods or non-frozen foods must be kept below 40 degrees Fahrenheit at all times. Without opening the door, the typical refrigerator should keep food cold for about 4 hours during a power failure. If the power is anticipated to be out longer than that, all eggs, dairy, meat, and fish should be packed into a cooler with ice. A digital quick-read thermometer should be used to determine if food is cold enough. Discard any food warmer than 40 degrees. Always remember your temperature controls when it comes to food. Cold food should be at 41 degrees or below. Hot food should be at 140 degrees or higher. Serve prepared, ready-to-eat perishable foods first. Perishable foods such as milk, meats, and other foods normally stored under refrigeration will spoil rapidly without it. These foods, if still cold, should be used as quickly as possible, first thing on your menu. Prepared and other perishable foods should be discarded when safe refrigeration and hot holding temperatures cannot be maintained. You can listen to a recorded USDA message on food safety during power outages by calling the 24-hour hotline they have, toll-free, at 1-800-535-4555. Once again, that number is 1-800-535-4555. Now, water safety during a power outage. Water purification systems might not operate during a power failure. Your local water utility should be able to tell you if the water is safe to drink or not. Remember, the average person requires a gallon of water per day, half to drink and half for sanitation. The best bet is to store bottled water for use in an emergency. If bottled water is not available, tap water can be used if boiled for at least 1 minute. Usually, other methods to purify water are not as effective. Remember, if chemical means is used to purify water, parasite organisms are probably not removed. Discontinue non-essential water usage. Do not drink cloudy or dirty water. And don't be alarmed if the chlorine levels are a little bit higher than normal. Notify your water officials if you have low or no water pressure in your home. Now, communications during a power outage. Most cordless phones will not work during a power failure. Cell phones may or may not work. All depends on the cell towers in your area. Also, cell phones can become overloaded during an emergency. A common suggestion is, if you have cell operations, use text message or email message as a way of communications. That is because these types of messages require less bandwidth and are completed in much shorter time frames. Regular landline telephones, those that use only a phone line and do not require power cord or batteries, you know, the old-fashioned type, will continue to operate during most power failures. They run on a completely different 24-volt system. So, it is great to keep at least one regular old-fashioned style phone in your home during power failures. Now, emergency lighting in your home. There's a whole array out there of solar lighting solutions. Check csp.hesafety.org equipment list for some ideas. It is recommended that you use either solar lights or hurricane lamps. We need to get away from these ideas of using candles as a good source of light. They pose more of a fire risk than anything else. Ah, now we're so bored, no power. You need to think about entertainment a little bit. Board games and cards are the time-tested best thing around. For some families, it's the only time you ever see your kids off the electronics and spend some quality time with you, kind of like a captive audience, if you would. So make the best of it. Utilize your cards and board games as much as possible. The one game I used to like to play, especially during power outages, was a game called The Worst Case Scenario. It was a survival game. Talked about all kinds of emergencies. How would you handle an emergency? Great game. And also, you want to make sure these cards and board games are part of your emergency supplies. Emergency cooking during a power outage. Now, here's where it gets to be like camping. Make a fire pit in your backyard. Barbecue until the power comes back on. If you have a gas stove, a power outage might not affect your cooking abilities. It might affect your lighting abilities, but you can always use a long kitchen lighter for that. Also, you want to know about fire watches during a power outage. So what is a fire watch? A fire watch is when you go around your home and you look for any kind of smoke or flames. Now that the power is out, this will mean that you will be using hurricane lamps. Thus, you want to do what is called a fire watch every few hours. All you do to complete a fire watch is walk around the home and make sure nothing is burning. No smoke coming out of rooms, and do a visual check on every room and closet. Most smoke detectors are battery operated, so you might still have battery smoke detection available to you, but I would still do the fire watch just to have that extra layer of security because you are going to be using open flames. Now your electronic equipment / electrical equipment. Turn off and unplug all unnecessary electrical equipment and electronics. Turn off and disconnect any appliances that use electricity like stoves. And also try to keep an eye on what electronics you were using when the power went out. You want to make sure they're turned off. And you want to do this because when power comes back on, there's a surge or a spike. Maybe you just spent $3,000 on a computer. You don't want a spike hitting it. Leave one light turned on so you'll know when power comes back on. Or a fan. I suggest a fan. Eliminate unnecessary travel, especially by car. Traffic lights are going to be out, and roads will be congested at this point, and street lights will be out, so it'll be dark outside. Carbon monoxide. Let's talk about carbon monoxide for a second. If you're using a generator, carbon monoxide can kill you. Never use a generator, grill, camp stove, or other gasoline, propane, or natural gas, or charcoal-burning devices inside the home. Always take that outside. And also, when you're outside, make sure that the smoke does not go back into the house. Also, carbon monoxide. You want to install carbon monoxide detectors throughout your home. If you start to feel queasy to your stomach, headaches, dizziness in the home, get outside the home. Get the fresh air. If after 5 minutes in the fresh air you're feeling fine, you got a carbon monoxide problem in your house. Now, during a power outage, you also want to stay cool. Stay cool during hot days and try and stay warm during cold days. Also, you want to check on your neighbors, especially the elderly and those with medical dependencies. Monitor radio and television for current information, when the power will be back on, what's going on. Also, garage doors and security gates. Understand, without power, you need to release them manually if anything should happen. And one last thing about traffic. Anticipate traffic delays. If you have to evacuate, understand when you come to a red light and it's out, it becomes a four-way stop. Now, when power is restored, do not touch any downed power lines. Keep at least 10 feet away from them at all times. And also report them to the appropriate officials in your area, usually the fire department. Throw out unsafe food. Throw away any food that has been exposed to temperatures above 40 degrees or that has unusual color, odor, or texture. When in doubt, throw it out. Never taste food or rely on appearance and odor to determine its safety. Some foods may look and smell fine, but if they've been in room temperature too long, bacteria causing foodborne illnesses can start growing quickly. Some types of bacteria produce toxins that cannot be destroyed by cooking. If food in the freezer is colder than 40 degrees Fahrenheit and has ice crystals on it, you can refreeze it. If you're not sure if food is cold enough, take the temperature of the food with a food thermometer. Throw out any food, meat, poultry, fish, eggs, or leftovers that has been exposed to temperatures higher than 40 degrees for more than 2 hours, or any food that has unusual odor, color, textures, or feels warm to the touch. For more guidelines on refreezing food when the power comes back on, visit HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org for more links to guides to USDA and the Food Safety Administration. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team. Preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support. Healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start, or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com. Okay, I want to take a moment and talk about floods and flash floods. Floods are among the most frequent and costly natural disasters. As much as 90% of all damage related to all natural disasters, not including droughts, though, is caused by floods and associated debris flows. Most communities in the United States can experience some kind of flooding. Over a 10-year period from 1988 to 1997, floods cost the nation an average of $3.7 billion annually. And the annual average of lives lost is about 110 per year. And most of them are results of flash flooding. These numbers is why the U.S. government is promoting the need for individuals to get private insurance. The U.S. government cannot handle this additional cost on the tight budgets they are on. During a flood and its aftermath, knowledge of how to protect your personal health and safety is vital. In winter and early spring, it is especially important to understand the health threats associated with exposure to the cold weather and cold water. Flash floods are deadly. More than half of the deaths are vehicle-related. Much of this happens in the Southwest because the ground is not used to soaking up a lot of water. A raging creek bed can have water moving at 30 miles per hour. Just 6 inches of water can knock you off your feet. Once the water level reaches the side of the car and starts coming in the doors, it can move the car sideways. At a depth of 2 feet, the water will wash most automobiles downstream. This even includes the heavier, older cars weighing more than 2 tons. The raging water will pick up trees, branches, fence posts, barbed wire, boulders, and anything else the water can move. A 10-second rainstorm can develop about 6 inches of water runoff. And in less than 1 minute, the water could be several feet deep. Incidentally, it doesn't have to be raining at the crossing. It could be raining intensely almost anywhere upstream. Many times I've been driving in the sunshine in Arizona, and I've come across a creek with running water, not a drop of water in the sky. So what causes flooding? Flooding occurs in known floodplains when you have one of the following situations happening: prolonged rainfall over several days, intense rainfall over a short period of time, or an ice or debris jam causes a river or stream to overflow and flood the surrounding areas. Melting snow can combine with rain in the winter and early spring. Thunderstorms can bring heavy rain to the spring and summertime, and tropical cyclones can bring intense rainfall to the coast and inland states in the summer and fall. So as you can see, it's a year-round thing. Flash floods can occur within 6 hours of a rain event, or after a dam or levee failure, or following a sudden release of water held by an ice jam or debris jam. And flash floods can catch people unprepared. You will not always know or have warning that these deadly sudden floods are coming. I remember watching a show one day when they were talking about a park ranger in a floodplain. He was sleeping, and all he heard was the roar of the water, and by that time it was too late. All he could do was grab his family and get to the top of his roof. The point being here is, if you know, you have to know in advance if you're in an area that's prone to flash flooding or floods. Plan now to protect your family and property, because you might not have time when it actually happens. Practice that plan also. One of the things you want to consider is, as land is converted from fields and woodlands to roads and parking lots, it loses its ability to absorb rainfall. Urbanization increases runoff 2 to 6 times over what would occur in natural terrain. So if they're building a new development by your house, you could be into a flood area. During periods of urban flooding, streets can become swift-moving rivers, while basements and viaducts can become death traps as they fill with water. Several factors contribute to flooding. Two key elements are rainfall intensity and duration. Intensity is the rate of rainfall, and duration is how long the rain lasts. Topographical, soil conditions, and ground cover also play important roles here. Most flash flooding is caused by slow-moving thunderstorms repeatedly moving over the same area, or heavy rains from hurricanes or tropical storms. Floods, on the other hand, can be slow or fast rising, but generally develop over a period of hours or days. Now, prior to any flooding happening in your area, what you want to do beforehand is find out, first of all, if you live in a flood-prone area, and whether your property is above or below the flood stage water level. Also, learn the history of flooding in your region. Learn about the flood warning signs and your community's alert signals. If you live in a frequently flooded area, stockpile emergency building materials. These would include plywood, plastic sheeting, lumber, nails, hammers, saws, pry bars, shovels, and sandbags. Have check valves installed in your sewer system to prevent floodwaters from backing up into your sewer drains. And finally, use large corks or stoppers to plug showers, tubs, and basins. Plan and practice your evacuation routes. Have alternate routes. Your family emergency plan should take into consideration planning for floods, because everyone is at risk. Your evacuation plan should also include at least 2 alternate routes to higher ground. Have a family emergency communication plan prepared prior to any flooding. Plan and practice a flood evacuation drill at least 2x a year. For more information on how to practice a flood drill or your emergency communication plan, visit us at csp.hesafety.org for more information. Also, inform local authorities, your police departments, and your fire departments if you have any special needs. Examples would be the elderly, any bedridden people, or anybody with disability. Once the local authorities know that, they will take into consideration during any evacuation of evacuating those people. Buy and install pumps with backup power to them in order to pump out your basements. Have a licensed electrician raise all your electrical components, switches, sockets, circuit breakers, etc., at least 12 inches above your home's projected flood elevation. For drains, toilets, and other sewer connections, install backflow preventer valves. Anchor fuel tanks which can contaminate your basement if torn free. An unanchored tank outside can also be swept downstream and damage other houses. Store important documents and irreplaceable personal objects where they won't be damaged in a major flood. Consider putting these things in a storage facility or up on the top decks, your attics, stuff like that. Now, when a flood watch has been issued, when you're facing a possible flood, don't stack bags of sand outside your home hoping that it'll contain the flood from getting into your basement. You won't. The water will seep underneath your house and into your basement. Just let the basement flood naturally.
Or even better, when you know the flood is there and you can't do anything about it, flood your basement with clean water in order to relieve the stresses on the foundation. You want to listen to battery-operated radios or hand-crank solar radios for the latest storm information. Prepare yourself to evacuate, so that means getting your caches ready and your supplies ready. Turn off all the utilities at the main power switch and close the main gas valve if evacuation appears necessary. Now, do not stand in water when you're turning off the main power. Electricity and water do not mix. Have your important documentation, to include your immunization records, handy, and be aware of your last tetanus shot. This way, in case you should receive a puncture wound or a wound because of contaminated water during or after a flood, you will know if you need to get tetanus shots. Fill your bathtubs and sinks and plastic soda bottles with clean water. Sanitize the sinks and tubs first by using bleach. Rinse and fill with clean water. This way you can use this water during the emergency. Bring outdoor possessions such as lawn furniture, grills, and trash cans inside or tie them down securely outside. During this time of a flood watch, you also want to check your emergency supplies. Make sure you have enough water, food, and supplies. Now, your water supply should last you 3 to 7 days. Same with your food and stuff like that. Also, make sure your first aid kit is up to par and you have everything you need, including special medications. Ensure you have a battery powered radio, flashlight, and extra batteries, sleeping bags, and extra blankets. Water purification supplies such as chlorine or iodine tablets. You can also use bleach. If you're going to use bleach, make sure it's unscented, ordinary household bleach. Also, you want to make sure you have baby food and prepare formula, diapers, and other baby supplies if you have a need for this. Make sure you have baby wipes on hand, disposable clean cloths for sanitation, cleanliness. Also, personal hygiene items such as soap, toothpaste, sanitary napkins, etc. Now, all this should be in your supply kits.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-TV, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. Providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper. Have you ever wanted to make sure you had the right news? You want to avoid all that hassle of going through fluff piece after fluff piece and politician talking about another politician? Well, you can. Visit Prepper Podcast Radio Network News, PPRNnews.com. We're the number one site for preppers to get their news. You want to know about the tyranny going on in the world? PPRNnews.com. You want to know about disaster? PPRNnews.com. From disaster, finance, extreme weather, tyranny, the unrest in the Middle East, in America, in Asia. We are the number one source that people come to get the news that matters most to preppers. The Prepper Podcast Radio Network News. Visit us today, put us on your favorite, and visit us often. I guarantee you will not be sorry.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals
has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Now here's a new song from Matt Fitzgibbons from his newest album called Entitled.
Seems like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When the sun beats down and it bakes the ground, you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hope's in doubt. But there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming. All your days and all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you hear the thunder roll, the lightning's begun, the flood will soon come to wash out the things that remain.
Listen to the Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program. We are broadcast and it can be heard on theprepperpodcast.com, KPRN TV, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at cspdb.com. Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program. Remember,
A wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com.
One last thing you will need for your emergency cache for a flood-prone area is insect repellent containing DEETs. When you have a flood, you will have mosquitoes, so you need to make sure you have the insect repellent ready to go. Now, some things you want to tell your family during this flood watch, because you have to educate them. You have to get them on board, and the more they know about it, the less likely they'll be scared. And some of the things you want to tell them is, if you come in contact with floodwaters, stop, turn around, and go the other way. Climb the higher ground right away. Never try to walk, swim, drive, or play in floodwaters. It is dangerous. It will be also contaminated. If you're in a vehicle and it becomes surrounded by water, get out of the vehicle safely and go to the top of the car. And if you can, seek higher ground fast. Watch out for snakes. Snakes are getting displaced also. Stay away from creeks and stream banks that have been flooded or recently been flooded. These will become soft and unstable during heavy rainfall and can suddenly give way, tossing you into a rapidly moving water. Never play around high water, storm drains, ditches, or ravines. It is easy to be swept away by fast-moving waters and for the water level to rise quickly. Throw away any and all food that you come in contact with floodwaters. Now, during a flood watch, some things you can do to protect your property: keep insurance policies, documents, and other valuables in a safe deposit box that's part of your to-go kit or your good bag. Avoid building in floodplains unless you're elevated and reinforce your home. Raise your furnace, water heater, and electrical panels to higher floors or to the attic when they are in areas of floodplains. Construct barriers such as levees, beams, berms, and flood walls to stop floodwaters from entering the building. Seal walls in basements with waterproof compound to avoid seepage through cracks. Now, during a flood, when you are getting hit with a flood, if you were caught in your house when the flood hits, you must seek higher shelter. If the water rises into the house, climb to the roof. If the house collapses, find something that you can grasp and float upon. Now, if your neighborhood is hit with a flood and you have a raft or a boat, then take it out and try and help others. Don't forget to wear a life jacket. Also, avoid any direct contact with someone who is drowning. They will take you down with them. If you should come in contact with floodwaters, wash your hands with soap and disinfected water. Floodwaters may contain raw sewage, chemical waste, and other infectious substance. Never walk through floodwaters. Also, during a flood, avoid electrical lines that are down, because electrical current passes through water real quick.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcast and it can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper, telling you about the Covert Prepper Show. If you want to learn how to hide your food, your weapons, your water, your dear-needed medical supplies, then tune in onto Blog Talk Radio. Look for Prepper Podcast Radio Network. Look for the Covert Prepper. I'm there 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time, Saturday nights, where you can listen to me tell you how I figured out how I can hide my stuff. I share this with you. And I'm also undergoing a series called 300 Days to Doomsday. This is where I get people ready to, well, be ready for a doomsday. That doomsday could be the end of the world, or it could be simply as, well, you lose your job. Or even worse than that, you lose your number one provider, your spouse. So listen in and visit www.thecovertprepper.com today.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, healthcare, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. We are broadcast and it can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN TV, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com.
If you're indoors when the flood hits, monitor your radio and television to get the latest emergency information. Continually check to see if the floodwaters are coming into your home. If you're outdoors when a flood hits, climb to higher ground right away and stay there. Remember, if it is moving swiftly, even water 6 inches deep can sweep you off your feet. Now, if you're in a car when a flood hits, or a flash flood, if you come in contact with a flooded area, turn around and go the other way. If your car stalls, abandon it immediately and climb to higher ground. Many deaths have resulted from the attempts of people trying to move stalled vehicles. Drive in first gear only and drive slowly so as not to flood the motor. Remember, your brakes will be wet and will cease to function. Now, during a flood, if you believe you're going to be evacuated, some things you want to do to prepare for an evacuation is, one, get your vehicle filled with gas right away. Make sure it has an emergency kit in the car. If you have no vehicle available, make arrangements quickly with friends or family for transportation and evacuation. If you have pets or livestock, identify a shelter designed for pets or secure your pets and livestock at higher ground. Also, during a flood and you're preparing to evacuate, review your emergency plans and supplies. Check and see if there are any items you might be missing. Listen for disaster sirens and warning signals. If you are evacuating your house, adjust your thermostats on refrigerators and freezers to the coolest possible temperatures. This way, when power goes out, you can keep your food relatively cold. Now, when the order to evacuate comes down, you should never ignore the evacuation orders. Authorities will direct you to leave when you're in a low-lying area or within a great potential path of the rising water. If a flood warning is issued in your area and you are directed to by authorities to evacuate the area, then do so. Only take essential items with you. If you have time, turn off your gas, electric, and water. Disconnect appliances to prevent electrical shock when power is restored. Follow the designated evacuation routes and expect heavy traffic. If they do become blocked and unpassable, use an alternate route. Now, once the flood waters begin to settle and recede, flood dangers are not done, especially when the water begins to recede. Listen to the radio and television, and don't return home until authorities indicate that doing so is safe. Remember to help your neighbors who may require special assistance. Once the water has subsided and it's not prudent to enter your house right away, it could collapse. Check it out first. Check out the foundation, the water levels, and all that kind of stuff. Inspect foundations for cracks and other damage. Stay out of a building if flood water remains around the building. When entering a building, use extreme caution. Wear sturdy shoes and use battery-powered lanterns or flashlights when examining buildings. Examine walls, floors, doors, and windows to make sure that the building is not in danger of collapsing. Watch out for animals, especially the snakes. They were flooded out of their home too, and they might try to make your home theirs. Use a stick to poke through debris, and watch for loose plaster and ceiling tiles that might come down and cause damage. Look for fire hazards, broken or leaking gas lines, flooded electrical circuits, submerged furnaces or electrical appliances, flammable or explosive materials coming from upstream. Throw away any food that came in contact with flood water. That includes canned food. It's not always sealed, so throw it away. Pump out flooded basements gradually, about 1/3 of water per day. This will avoid structural damage. Service damaged septic tanks, cesspools, pits, and leaching systems as soon as possible. Damaged sewer systems are health hazards. Inspect your home utilities for damage. In case of gas leak or electrical fire, get out of the house immediately. Prevent illness from your food. Identify and throw away all foods that may not be safe to eat. Store your food safely. If you are coming back and you have electrical power restored, if your food has been above 40 degrees more than 2 hours, throw it away. Also, prevent illnesses from drinking water. Listen and follow the public announcements. Local authorities will tell you if tap water is safe to drink or not. If it is not safe to drink, then bring it to a rolling boil for 1 minute, and that will kill all bacteria. If you can't boil the water, add 1/8 teaspoon, approximately 0.75 milliliters, of newly purchased unscented liquid household bleach per gallon of water. Stir the water and let it sit 30 minutes before you use it. You can use water purification tablets instead of boiling water or using bleach. Now, if you're one of the lucky ones that have an infant during all this, some caution needs to be taken. Use only pre-prepared canned baby formula. Do not use powdered formulas prepared with treated water. Disinfect children's toys that have come in contact with water or flood water. Use a solution of 1 cup of bleach to 5 gallons of water to disinfect toys, household furniture, countertops, and etc. Let toys air dry after cleaning. Some toys, such as stuffed animals and baby toys, cannot be disinfected and they should be discarded right away.
Well, that about does it for this episode of Common Sense Preparedness. If you want to follow any information that you heard on this radio program or any other information, follow us at cspdb.com. And remember, a wise man prepares for a darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at cspdb.com.
And tools so that no one would get hurt. say gun control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. They teach you lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are wrong. You take gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.